this past week, when I got home, I had some letters in the mail, pastor appreciation cards from some of you. And I want to say, first and foremost, I should have said this earlier, I want to thank you for those cards. But then it reminded me, it bounced me back into reality. Can you believe we're already into the middle of the month of October? I mean, we're just that close to Christmas of 2022. And I began to think, you know, being October, people are beginning to discern places to donate financially for their end of year giving. And I know personally that T and I have incorporated donations to St. Jude's Hospital. Now, I want to say giving to nonprofits is a witness of one's generosity and kindness. It is through through people's gifts at the Community Foundation that we're able to receive grants and continue to do our ministry of the food pantry. And what I want to really say is that when we give and we have a charitable contribution to a nonprofit, it speaks about the character of a person or a family or a business. But it's also a lifeline for these agencies to continue the good work they do in helping to meet needs. Nonprofit organizations play a growing role in social and economic well-being of the United States. I didn't know this, but I read an article here last week that was produced in June of 2021 from my alma mater, not the University of Arkansas, but Arkansas State University. And this article was titled "The Role of Nonprofits in Society," and it says that charitable organizations have become indispensable within our nation. And friends, I want you to understand when I say that, that also means churches, because we are a charitable organization. Not only do they meet needs, but also they foster civic engagement, leadership, economic growth, and strengthen the fabric of communities. And if you don't believe me, you can ask Ms. King over there. She can reaffirm what I'm sharing with you. She knows firsthand because of her work that she does there in Boone County. And I guess what I want you to know is that when we have a charitable spirit and we give, it impacts everyone within a community. It impacts everyone within society, whether we realize it or not. So what we do with our money truly makes a difference in our local communities as well as the world. Now, the Bible speaks volumes about God's people being charitable. It's not only a demonstration of Christian principles, but it is an act of obedience. See, one aspect of living a faithful, fruitful life as a follower of Christ requires our attention to how we use our or God's money for His kingdom and His purpose. To whom one gives their money speaks to what they are devoted to. So let me give you an example. If there was some way I could have shared my personal checkbook on the screen behind you, you'd have noticed that all of my, because I don't do anything online, I'm still old school, I still write checks, you would see that after I pay my bills and I give money to this church and to other charitable donations, all the rest of the money I spend is either on motorcycles or motorcycle paraphernalia. And here's my point. Where you spend your money reveals a truth about you, whether you like what it reveals or not. So I thought it might be appropriate to remind us today of what Scripture says about our stewardship of the financial resources God has blessed us with. I believe it is relevant to say that this message is just as applicable for those who make six figures annually, as well as those who are struggling to get by on minimum wage. Because tithing, my friends, has nothing to do with a person's affluence. Rather, this topic of giving is an important aspect of one's relationship with God. So for the next 2 weeks, for those of you who come this morning who are guests, I don't usually preach ever on money. But if you come this Sunday and you plan on coming next Sunday, you're going to hear not one, but two sermons about the importance of tithing and what God's Word says about it. This week we're going to look at the understanding from the Old Testament. Next week we'll look at the understanding from the New Testament. And before we go any further, I want to state that I know that this is a very controversial topic among folks. T and I have friends who were Christians, active Christians, not only in Emmaus, but in their local church for many years. And they went to church one Sunday, and the preacher preached on tithing, and they decided that that's all that the church wanted, and that's all that that preacher wanted. And they completely did a 180, and those individuals have never darkened the church door again. So I understand that this is a very touchy subject. But I hope by the time that we are done with this mini-series, you will see that tithing is a part of discipleship as well as an expression of your faith to God and your faith in God. Now, I'll let you know that there were so many scriptures that I could have chosen in the Old Testament. I want to just share a couple with you. One that most preachers like to quote is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will burst with wine." Another one that is very, very powerful is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. It says, "If anyone is poor among you, among your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin," Scripture says. "Give generously," it goes on to say, "to them who, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land." Verse 11 says, "Therefore I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land." Now, no doubt, friends, this first passage from Proverbs offers a practical application and principle for honoring God with our money. And the second really serves as a decree, I believe, for social justice, saying that if we make a concerted effort to marry our conscience to God's law, to use our resources for the benefits of others, then we can help lift people out of the throes and cycles of poverty. And while I think those are very powerful passages of scriptures, I don't think they really drive home the point about God's opinion about tithing, or more importantly, withholding our tithes. So I'm going to invite you to join me this morning by going to the book of Malachi and looking in chapter 3. So if you brought your Bible open to Malachi chapter 3, that's the last book before the New Testament. If you want to use the Bible in the pews, you can turn to page 779. And as always, for those who appreciate large font, and for those of you at home, the passage of Scripture, will be provided on the screen for you to join along with me. And we're going to start reading in the sixth verse of the third chapter of Malachi. Verse 6 begins saying, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and not have kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. It's our tradition to end each scriptural reading saying, this is the word of God for the people of God, and all respond saying, thanks be to God. Will you please join me in a short prayer? Oh Lord, I come this morning and I echo the sentiments and words of my wife. How ironic it is for a preacher to preach on tithing in Pastor Appreciation Month. And I know, Lord, that it is a very controversial topic. But I also know, Lord, that it is a reflection of the level of our discipleship. So God, I have my opinions, Lord. And I have my thoughts. But I ask that your Spirit will speak through me through the rest of this sermon, and that your Spirit will speak to each person individually. Not that they would necessarily hear my opinions or beliefs, but that they will hear directly from you, and that they will answer your instruction and your guidance in the affirmative. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now look, for those of you who are Bible scholars, I know how easy it is to write this lesson off as a teaching to support a system that has been gone way too long. Now for those of you who don't know what I'm speaking about, there were 12 tribes that made up the nation of Israel. One tribe was to care only for the temple because worship was at the heart of that community. So because these people did not work, did not grow sheep or crops, the other 11 tribes were commanded to tithe so that this priestly tribe would be taken care of. And that's what this passage is kind of dealing about, because these 11 had quit tithing. But I also want you to know that tithing has a much deeper history in Scripture than just with the nation of Israel. Some of you may remember that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek because Melchizedek had blessed him. And Jacob had promised or dedicated a tenth of everything that he owned to God because of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. So when you hear a pastor, me this morning or any other preacher, preaching about tithing, it has nothing to do with being money hungry and everything to do with one's personal piety. It's a concept that was true thousands of years ago, just as a concept that is true today. Now again, what we just read in our text is an encounter where the prophet is directly revealing how God feels about the children of Israel withholding of their tithes. The Lord reminds the people that He has remained faithful despite their spiritual adultery. Not just the withholding of tithes, but all the other things that they had done that were not in line with His will and His law. But this next portion of the verse speaks against their wickedness of selfishness. In a rhetorical style of writing, God is asking questions that He is answering Himself. And God says, your practice of selfishness is equal to the crime of stealing. So I want to ask you, have you ever thought that when you justify not giving to God for whatever reason, that you've robbed God? I mean, if I can be transparent, that's not what comes to my mind. Usually what comes to my immediate rationale is how I cannot make this bill or that financial obligation if I put a 10% tithe into the collection plate. And surely, God being all-knowing, all-powerful, you know, and all-present, He understands my dilemma. Yet the Scriptures don't offer a way out. It simply says that when one doesn't tithe, they rob God. Now, I think this robbing concept needs to be fleshed out a little. So go with me. When Scripture says that we are robbing God, it doesn't mean that we are shortchanging God of resources God needs to make ends meet. Rather, what we are robbing God of is His character. In essence, what we are saying when we choose not to tithe is this: God, you are not trustworthy. If I place my tithe in the offering plate, I don't believe that you will make the rest of my money stretch to meet my needs. But our text comes with an invitation for you and I to test God. God extends the opportunity for us to challenge or call into question His character and see if God will be faithful to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out His blessings. And if you're understanding what I'm saying this morning, then the question shouldn't be if we are required to tithe or not. The real question should be, does this promise found in Malachi 3 verses 9 and 10 still apply today? If we are faithful to give, not out of our abundance, but out of obedience, will God really open up the windows of heaven and bless us in ways that we can't even imagine? You know, you might be surprised to learn that there's not one single verse in the New Testament that rescinds this promise. Not one. I like the way one pastor explained it. He said in a sermon I read this: do you believe that God will never destroy the earth by water again? He says, how do you know? Oh, that's right. Your confidence is based on the promise found in Genesis 9. Remember, that's the rainbow. And he goes on to say, that promise did not have to be reinstated in the New Testament in order to be valid today. All we got to do is look into the sky at the right time, and we are reminded physically, visually, of God's promises. He goes on to say, that promise in Malachi chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it didn't need to be restated either. But that promise didn't die over a certain period of time. And I want to be very clear here. For those of you who may think that I'm quoting a pastor of prosperity theology, I am not. Actually, this pastor I just quoted is a minister of a local Church of Christ church. And here's my point. Our giving for the glory of God will always reap a positive benefit in one's life. The tithing in the Old Testament was a physical discipline that provided spiritual benefits to the people of God. Spiritual benefits that manifested physically, emotionally, psychologically, and relationally. And you may be saying, well, preacher, I'm still not finding the connection. What exactly is your point? And my point is this: those same principles apply today. If this church or this community of faith brings value or blessing into your life, then you must support it for this to continue. If you understand that our mandate as Christians is to care for the widows, the orphans, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and in prison, to bring freedom to the captives and sight to the blind, then for this to become a reality in any form, it will demand our contributions and our tithes. Again, I'm not sharing this today to hound you for money. We don't pass a plate in Green Forest United Methodist Church, number one, so that our online worshipers don't get lost in the silence and the dead time of doing so, and number two, because I believe that God will place on your heart what you need to give and when you need to give it, and there's a plate sitting in the back for you to do so at your convenience, at your discretion. And we'll continue that practice as long as I'm your pastor at Green Forest United Methodist Church. But I cannot reiterate enough that it takes money to do ministry. It took support back in the Old Testament days, and it takes support in our current times as well. Tithing to God, whether as a person, a family, or business, recognizes that God is the source of one's strength, knowledge, income, security, and everything that one has. While it can be very easy to consider the work that we do and the life that we build is done so solely through our own intellect, strength, and cunning, those who participate in the notion of a tithe are always reminded and remain grounded in the reality that while they do affect results, they don't do anything alone in this life. Our practice of tithing is an expression that we believe God is working through this body and using our tithes to make a divine justice visible and the goodness of God tangible through the ministries of Green Forest United Methodist Church. When we tithe, we honor God as the ultimate authority and power in our lives. Again, tithing in the Old Testament and tithing today has nothing to do with financial gain for the church. Rather, tithing provided a service for worship to remain the center of culture and to make God as personal in one's life as their monetary gain. God wants His people to make one's faith as personal as we do our finances. So let me just step out here on a limb and just say, there ain't a one of you within the sound of my voice who doesn't have access to either cash or your debit cards or your credit cards right now while you're in worship. You've got it either in your purse or in your butt pocket. You know why? Because it's personal to you. And you don't go home, you don't go nowhere without it. God wants our faith to be just that personal. And tithing is one step in making this a reality within our hearts as well as within our lives. But when a person tithes, it serves as a posture of humility and gratitude. So I hope this sermon has helped each of us to understand the importance of tithing, and I pray, truly I pray, it will encourage each of us to take hold of the promises of God. As one theologian writes, it's not a matter of whether or not you can afford to tithe, it's whether or not you can afford not to. When we put the Lord first, God promises to open up heaven and pour out His blessings into our lives and to our community. So if you've heard nothing else today except tithe, 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 money, 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 that's all that preacher's talking about, you've missed my point. I'm challenging you to grab a hold of the promise of God that if you do this, you'll see God working away in your life that may be completely new to you. If you do this, you will see for certain a working of God in your life that not only blesses you, but blesses this place you call a church home and a community where you live as we continue to try to be the hands, the feet, the heart, the mind, and the voice of Christ our Lord. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.